It's Tuesday, June 28th, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Turn it up! Turn it up!
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
It's the Everything Digital Podcast. It is Tuesday, June 28th, 2005. And big news this morning. That's right, iTunes version 4.9 was announced. You can go ahead and download it if you haven't already, and I'm guessing you have. That's available at iTunes.com or, of course, Apple.com. Got more on that later, though, as well as tons of other news and developments in the technology industry that have been happening over the last week. All coming up on the Everything Digital Podcast just after these five-second news headlines. Apple's European iTunes music stores have recently reached a total of 50 million songs purchased and downloaded. The most recent top 500 list of the fastest supercomputers in the world has put IBM machines in both the first and second place slots. AMD has introduced a new high-performance Turion 64 processor line dubbed the ML40 in an effort to attract business professionals. Microsoft's Hotmail service is planning to begin flagging all emails without a Microsoft verified sender ID as spam. And Verizon Wireless has plans to introduce the new Samsung i730 PDA phone priced at $599.99 and aimed at business customers. Those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. All right, so iTunes 4.9. Huge announcement. Actually, it was announced probably about a month ago, but just came out this morning, Tuesday morning, the 28th, and it is pretty cool. Now, of course, it doesn't have all the features that you'd see in a dedicated podcatcher, that is like an iPod or X or an iPod or Lemon or that type of thing. It doesn't have, for one thing, it can't actually read the regular RSS posts like iPod or X can now, and doesn't really have a whole lot of functionality as far as actually manipulating the RSS content. It's really just there for the podcast, which is fine, because if you've got all these new users and all these potentially new listeners coming in, they don't really want a bunch of confusing stuff, especially if this is going to be their first experience with podcasting. They probably just want to download the show and listen to it, and that's what iTunes does. So iTunes 4.9 available now, iTunes.com. Some interesting things I found while looking in here. I'm just starting it up here. So you start it up, you get the looks like any other directory on the iTunes Music Store, the audiobook section, the regular music section. It's just like that, only it's about podcasts. You got the top podcasts on the right-hand side. Sad to say, Everything Digital is not in the top 20. It may be in the top 100. I'm not sure. But there's a whole lot of new podcasts that Apple is introducing here that are new, completely new. ESPN is apparently getting into it. ABC News, podcasts that weren't even available anywhere are now right here on iTunes. So that's great. It's bringing a whole bunch of new people into podcasting, and this is probably where Steve was getting his 8,000 podcast number that he used in the Worldwide Developer Conference speech about this, when he said that there's 8,000 podcasts and counting. Well, at that point, the iPodder.org directory only tracked 4,000-something. So people didn't know where he was coming up with the extra 4,000 or so. Well, they're all here. Man, I remember when it was 400-something in the iPodder.org directory. Yeah, the good old days, right? But something interesting that I know, I just saw a Queer Eye for the Straight Guy Hip Tips banner flip across the podcasting page here. I actually subscribe to that. It's pretty funny. So a banner that's popping up now, and this is what I wanted to talk about, is the Adam Curry's Podfinder podcast. And let me just see if without iTunes or without GarageBand slowing down on me here, let me see if I can just play this first episode of the Podfinder here. All right, here it is.
Your weekly guide to the podcast universe. The Podfinder Podcast. Stick it in your ear.
Congratulations, you're now listening to the very first Podfinder Podcast.
All right, so my first question when listening to this is, what's with all the production all of a sudden? What's with this here? Right here. Here we go. Okay. What's with?
My name's Adam Curry, welcoming you to the.
Okay, so it's bookmarkable. That's good. All right. What's with all that junk? I mean, isn't that the exact thing that Adam's been preaching against on his show? He's been saying that's one of the flaws in radio, that everyone just has this quick, you know, we're going to give you all the information really quick with all this audio stimulation everywhere and just to keep you interested because we can't do it any other way. That's how he was saying that radio was, and he was criticizing that aspect of radio. But now, it's right there in his Podfinder podcast. And let's listen to that again. Does this sound any different than something you'd hear on any of the, you know, normal morning radio shows that really don't say anything but try to keep you interested anyway?
Your weekly guide to the podcast universe. The Podfinder Podcast.
You know, I'd much rather just have Adam get up there and say, welcome to Podfinder. I'm Adam Curry, you know, and yes, he says that later, but, oh, it just annoys me. Because what I've always thought podcasting was about is amateurs trying to be professional. And I remember back when the Daily Source Code was still a new thing, a new podcast, Adam had this, like, had the all these really professional-sounding intros, and of course, everyone's complaining about his five-minute intros now, but back then it was really cool. He had these all these sweepers and stuff going in the intro, but of course, that was okay because it was totally amateur at that time. So you knew it was an amateur trying to be a professional, and that made it good. That made it really cool to listen to. But when you know now, and you listen to these shows that are made by professionals, and that there's professionals doing all these sweepers and stuff, it's just a professional trying to be professional. And it's nothing new, it's nothing interesting, in my opinion. So, and of course, the worst thing would be, and I have yet to see this, but I know it's out there somewhere, would be a professional trying to act like an amateur. I know there's examples out there. Someone will probably point me to one later, but that would that would really suck if all of a sudden, just to try to mix in with the podcasting people, all the professionals try to disguise their shows as being done by amateurs. That would really be bad. But right now we've got, and just looking here, we've got all these professionals who are just professionals. And that's not necessarily bad, but in my opinion, it's not what I'm looking for in a podcast. It's probably good that we've got all these new all this new material, but it's really it's that magic of hearing an amateur start really sounding professional. And like in the old days when people, podcasters, were truly amateurs, every single one of them. Adam was probably the most experienced as far as radio experience in the whole community. He didn't have any people doing the production for him. It was all him. He just got on his computer and got some sweepers together and made it, and it sounded really cool, and that was what was so amazing about it. And that's what was so amazing about podcasting up until now. Now we've got to find a new thing that's amazing. And I don't know what that is yet, but you can always cling to the old diehard, you know, amateur podcast that will still be around, but it's definitely entering a new era here, and I'm not sure if I like it yet. But we'll see. We'll see how it progresses. So also on the podcatcher front here, we've got an interesting, by the new iTunes 4.9 announcement, a new interesting comparison pops up, and that is between iPodRx 3.0 as opposed to the introduction of iTunes 4.9. So this is really interesting because this is the smaller but more focused podcatcher versus the larger but more general podcatcher. So it's an interesting comparison, and this isn't really my point in this. I've actually got a completely different announcement as far as iPodRx, but hey, while I'm on the subject, I'm going to talk about this. So iPodRx has a ton of features that iTunes couldn't possibly implement, not just because it's limited as far as the user experience. Like these users can't really, some of these users can't really comprehend some of the more complicated features that could come with podcasting. But also by the fact that iTunes already has so many uses that you can't really add too many more in the podcasting area itself. There's only so much space in the menus. But iPodRx really has all those features. So I'm kind of at a crossroads here. I was already at a crossroads whether to use NetNewsWire or now iPodRx 3.0 as my regular RSS aggregator. Now I'm at a double or triple crossroads because now iTunes 4.9, how do I counterbalance the what I want to do in iTunes 4.9 and what I want to do in iPodRx? So I'm trying to get it all sorted out. I know I'm going to use a combination of both programs. The challenge is just going to be finding the combination that really works and the balance of the two that really makes the best user experience for me. And I'm sure many other people, especially people who already have iPodRx 3.0, will be making this same balance as well. Now, on to my announcement. This has been in the works for quite a while, that iPodRx has had a secret double life. That's right, it's actually Augustin Ray and their new developer, Sean, have been developing a version of iPodRx for the Windows platform for several months now, actually. And it has all the features that iPodRx 3.0 has for Mac, but it works on Windows. So obviously there's this huge new market open to the iPodRx guys, and it's interesting because, of course, iTunes is also Windows and Mac. So we will definitely see some competition there. The Windows version is going to be available as a public beta in coming weeks. Not an exact time on that, but stay tuned on the iPodRx.com developers weblog, iPodRx.com/blog, I think. And there is a link in the show notes to the post where August shows a screenshot of the new iPod X for Windows. I've also got that screenshot up on everythingdigital.org along with a little news post about it. I got a quote from August to go along with that. So if you want to check that out, everythingdigital.org, of course. So in addition, got another little news thing here before we go to the music break later on. Google has announced two new developments for its Google Video service. The Google Video Viewer is a new feature that allows users to watch archived videos right in their web browsers via a plugin available at video.google.com. And there is a link in the show notes. Actually, there isn't a link in the show notes. Let me put that in there. See, this is what makes podcasting great. Me typing in the middle of the show because I forgot to put the link in the show notes. You know what? That's real. Also, once you've installed this plugin, play buttons will appear next to any video in the Google database. So you can just click those, and the video will immediately play for you. And you've got however many months they've been archiving, I think since April. Actually, probably past that for the TV networks. They've been archiving all these videos while they're making them all available to the public. However, not the whole public. This new plugin is sadly only available for Windows 2000 or later, and you have to have Firefox 1.0 Plus or IE, that is Internet Explorer 5.0 Plus. You know, leaving the Mac users out in the cold. Maybe they'll have a Mac version later, but we'll see. Also, Google is opening up access to their database of user-submitted videos, which it has been archiving since April. So there's a little submit button on the video.google.com homepage where you can submit your own videos. That's been there since April, but now they're finally adding those videos once they've been archived. And I believe they try to find a text track or match a text track with it. It's pretty sophisticated stuff they're doing over there. But anyway, those are all available, so if you do a Google search on the video, video.google.com search, you will get also the user videos in addition to the professional ones from the TV networks. All right, so this music I've got here is from Rob Costlow. You might recognize the name. He was featured on the Daily Source Code, and I got an email from him, actually, about a week ago, just saying, hey, I got this music here. If you want to play it on your show, go ahead, and he gave me full permission to use his music, and I really liked it on the Daily Source Code, so I figured, what the heck, I'll play it here. So I've got it here for you. This is Meant to Be from Rob Costlow. Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? That's Rob Coslow, robcoslow.com. Link in the show notes. Meant to be. I apologize for the little skip there in the middle of the song. That's GarageBand. You know, I don't have a very fast computer, so GarageBand, every once in a while you get the occasional skip or stop entirely. You get the disc too slow or part of the song not played. Or big mess. You know, it's a pretty powerful program, but sometimes too powerful for my processor. All right, so moving on, Singular is apparently considering the Motorola iTunes phone. An unnamed source says, quote, Motorola and Apple have been talking to Singular about it using the iTunes phone. RBC Capital analyst Mark Su says, Apple and Singular have been hammering out the final details of a revenue sharing plan. So apparently, it has been discussed for a while that why would the carriers want to accept the deal with Apple and Apple and Motorola? Why would they accept that when they could market their own music? Well, if Apple shares some of the revenues from songs downloaded right to your phone, then it could work. And that's apparently what's happening here. So it is a fact that Singular was the first to sell Motorola's Razr phone, so they'd be an obvious choice to be the first to debut this new Motorola iTunes phone, which I'm not sure exactly what phone it's going to be. I think it's going to be a brick style, so it's all not a flip phone or anything. It's going to be just a regular square block phone. Brick. And also, Apple and Motorola both refused to comment, not surprising there, on the report released Saturday that contained these details. Should be interesting. The iTunes phone has been something that's been in the works for a while here, and looks like it's finally close to coming out. Close. It's nothing's confirmed yet, but it does seem like it's getting closer, and should be. It's been quite a while. So, the question has finally been answered. That question is, can search engines play Trivial Pursuit? It has often been a fact that search engines have lacked the ability to really find answers to very specific questions. They can find general information, but it's really hard when someone actually asks it a question. And it, especially when the question's about something really, really specific. However, Answers.com and Ask.com, which is Ask Jeeves, have claim that they've fixed this problem because their searches actually accept just searches in question format. Well, an Associated Press journalist, Michael Leitge, wanted to test this, actually give this a test. Pause there for a second. Ugh. Just had to get some water. My throat was really dry there. It must be the hot summer air here in San Diego. So anyway, Michael Leitge, wanted to test the effectiveness of these improvements. So he played Trivial Pursuit with the search engines. He inputted the questions that he found in Trivial Pursuit and saw how quickly he could find answers on the search engines. So after inputting several questions, he determined that Ask.com and Answers.com are only slightly better than Google, but are much better than Yahoo and MSN at actually deciphering searches in question format. He used one sample question, "What glass beads are created when a meteorite strikes the Earth's surface?" Both Ask.com and Answers.com returned the correct answer on the first page of results. Do you know what the correct answer is? That's right, it's tektrites, or tektites. So, these engines, Ask.com and Answers.com, were fairly successful throughout the test, except for one question, which stumped every single search engine he could try. The question was, who was the first Cuban defector to play in Major League Baseball? That stumped every single search engine. Does it stump you? It probably did, because the answer is Rene Arocha. Not so good with names. All right, so moving on, and this I'm really excited about. This is something I saw in Make Magazine, the first issue, actually, and I'm subscribed to Make Magazine, wonderful magazine, makezine.com. No, I'm not being sponsored by them, although I wish I was. So they had this article in the first issue about building a video camera stabilizer. So that's the type of thing you'd see in, like, those $10,000 Steadicam devices. Well, they had a how-to on building it for $14. You can buy one at a video supply store for $10,000, or build your own in about 40 minutes for $14. Which one would you choose? Well, unless you're making $10,000 in 45 minutes, probably the $14 alternative. Well, I chose the $14 alternative, obviously, and I've got a fully functional video camera stabilizer to show for it. I've posted photos up of my new stabilizer on my Flickr site. There is a link in the show notes to the exact photo collection. There's only two of them, but they demonstrate pretty well how the thing is put together. I also did a test video where I compared the camera without the stabilizer. Oh, excuse me. Not Senseo. I took one half of it is the camera without the stabilizer, and one half is the camera with the stabilizer, and you can really see the difference. I just took a like a brush line, and I there was this I took like a row of bushes, and then there's a little divider down where the bushes divide from the grass, and I just filmed along that line, and you can see when I'm walking, the camera jitters all over the place, up, down, side to side. When you've got the stabilizer, it really doesn't have much movement at all. There's a little movement up and down, but not too much. And then, of course, there's just the smooth pan side to side. It really works well. Now, the way this works is, and I've got it right next to me here, is there's essentially just three pipes, and then at the bottom, there's a weight. So there's one pipe that's the handle, and then at the top is the camera, and the bottom is a weight. Now, the way it works is the weight counteracts the weight of the camera. So it actually holds, you can probably picture it, the heavy weight at the bottom holds the camera straight. So it gets that nice smooth pan that before was really... only available in these expensive Steadicams. Now, the Steadicams actually do use a little bit more of a sophisticated method. They've got some balancing techniques and some electronic correction, things like that. But really, a lot of people think they use gyroscopes, but actually, they use this very same method, just a little more complex version of it. So it's pretty interesting. I really encourage you to check out that video because the difference is amazing. And it's pretty easy to build your own. I built mine in probably 35 to 40 minutes with very minimal effort, very easy getting through it. Parts were very easy to find. It's basically you can use PVC piping or you can just use like metal plumbing supply pipes. And then you've got some washers, of course a weight, which you can really pick up for pretty cheap. A lot of people have used weights that they'll throw away. You know, see if you can get one of those before it gets to the trash. It actually recommends a 2.5 pound or a 5 pound weight. I chose the 2.5 because I made what they call the sport model, which is a little smaller, more compact, and is it's better for well for taking places and filming. The larger model is more for if you're not planning on a whole lot of mobile filming and just more in one place, you know, the camera not really going too many places, you just want to hold it steady. So I built the sport version, used a 2.5 pound weight. You can build either version, build a 5 pound weight version. It's up to you, but I got to tell you, it's really been working great for me. All right, so that's all I got for today. Except this outro music. This is from The Turnarounds off of GarageBand.com. This is Same Mistake. Alright, so you can post comments at everythingdigital.org. You can subscribe to the Everything Digital podcast at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml. My email, in case you want to contact me directly, is alan@everythingdigital.org. My Skype ID is everythingdigital. My AOL Instant Messenger IM screen name is Podcaster. If you want to leave an audio comment, you can go ahead and call 206-9-THE-EDP or 206-984-3337. Also, the sponsorship offer still stands. Haven't gotten any offers yet, but if you want to sponsor one show of the Everything Digital podcast, you can pay $5, or you could pay more than that. But the way it works is the person that is offered the most by the time I do the next show gets the sponsorship. So if you're interested in that, it's a chance to reach maybe between 1,000 and 2,000 people. It varies by show, and of course with the new iTunes 4.9, I'm expecting some extra traffic probably. Actually, I've got one more thing to add on that. I've just been busy before working on this show. I was working on my RSS feed, and I completely overhauled the meta version of it, or the meta area of it, to comply with iTunes standards. So now it's got all the iTunes tags in there, and it'll work with the iTunes Music Store. It was actually already in there, but there were a couple fields that weren't there, a couple information values missing. So I corrected all that. Should be updated in the iTunes Music Store. You can see the Everything Digital podcast there if you search for it. So go ahead and take a look at that. Other than that, thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.